So, brothers and sisters in the Sangha, Jai Bhim. So, tonight we're just over halfway through our journey. And tonight I'm going to try to give you a little bit of a rest. Every night I've said, well, I will try to keep this talk under an hour and a quarter. But each night, you give me so much inspiration, I go on for an hour and a half. But still, you've been going for 5 days, you've got five more days to go, we maybe need a little bit of a rest tonight. But we've been following in Baba Sahib's footsteps on the Bodhisattva path. Of course, we've been following it in imagination. But we've also been trying to see how we can do it in our actual lives. Every day I've been asking you to do some homework. I've been asking you to reflect on what we're talking about in your own life. And I hope that you're all getting some clear idea of how you can follow the Bodhisattva path for yourselves. Following Baba Sahib's footsteps, following the Bodhisattva path, means that you actually have to change yourself. It's not just that we listen to a talk and get a lot of inspiration. There has to be a change in our behavior. A change in our relationships with other people. A change in our own minds. So we've been trying to, in our homework, see how we could make those changes. Baba Sahib led us into Buddhism. And he knew that this was very difficult. He says in the Buddha and his Dhamma, Buddhism is a religion very difficult to practice. We can't practice Buddhism just by worshipping the Buddha. Yes, worshipping the Buddha is good. But we need to change ourselves. So I really hope that by the end of this series, every one of you will have made some change in yourself. If I felt that that was the case, I'd go back to England a happy man. I'd feel I hadn't wasted my time here. I hope that through our journey together, we will all of us have changed ourselves. I hope that I will have changed myself by having contact with the Bodhisattva, contact with Baba Sahib. I hope that I'm changing myself. So I hope that you're all getting a quite clear idea of what changes you can make. One thing that's coming clearer to me as we go along is that we need help and support. When we're all together, there's a lot of inspiration. Just looking at the way you're all so concentrated, you're all attending so carefully. This creates a very strong atmosphere of inspiration.
Mm-hmm.
But then off we go by ourselves.
Aur phir hum yahan se akal jaate.
And it's much harder to keep that inspiration going.
Aur jab hum akale jaate hain to ye prerna ko kaayam rakhna bahut mushkil hota hai.
So one thing I would really like to see is that everybody here found themselves part of a little sangha of people practicing the Dhamma.
Aur mujhe aasha hai ki yahan se aane wale har ek ko apna chhota sa ek sangha mile taki wo baad mein aacharan kar sake.
If you want, you can join in with us in our sangha.
Agar aap chahte hain to aap hamare sangha mein shamil ho sakte hain.
Or you can just form your own.
Agar nahi to aap apna swayam ka shuru kar sakte.
Or join some other group.
Ya kisi group mein aap shamil ho sakte
hain. I don't care which group you're part of.
Aap kis group ke sadasya hain isse mujhe koi fark nahi padta.
You don't have to be with us.
Aapko hamare saath hi hona chahiye, aise koi zaruri baat nahi hai.
The main thing is that you practice the Dhamma.
Mukhya baat ye hai ki aap dhamma ka aacharan kar rahe hain.
But we will be telling you ways in which you can join in with us if you want to.
Aur hum aapko yehi batate hain ki agar aapki ichcha hai to aap hamare saath bhi jud sakte
hain. Yes, so that's what we've been doing. We've been following the Bodhisattva path in imagination.
To hum yehi kar rahe hain, Bodhisattva ke marg ko apni kalpana mein aacharan kar rahe hain.
And we've been trying to see how we can follow it more vigorously for ourselves.
Aur hum yeh dekhne ki koshish kar rahe hain ki hum swayam se aur shakti se veere ke saath kaise aacharan kar sakte hain.
We've seen that we start preparing ourselves.
Aur hum dekh rahe hain ki hame swayam ki taiyari karna avashyak hai.
Creating the right sort of atmosphere, the right kind of attitude.
Uchit vatavaran aur uchit drishtikon nirman karne ki hum soch rahe hain.
And then the bodhicitta arises.
Aur phir bodhicitta nirman hota hai.
And once the bodhicitta has arisen, we make the vow.
Aur jab bodhicitta nirman hota hai to hum pratigya karte hain.
That vow that we've been taking now as novice bodhisattvas.
Aur jo pratigya hum abhi le rahe hain wo ek prashikshan lene wala bodhisattva iske roop mein le rahe hain.
Sort of rehearsing for when the bodhicitta does arise.
Aur hum iski taiyari kar rahe hain ki uske liye hum taiyari hain ki bodhicitta hamare andar nirman ho.
And then we practice the paramitas.
Aur phir hum paramitas ka aacharan karte hain.
And we looked for the last two nights at dana and shila paramita.
Aur pichli do raaton mein humne dana aur shila paramita ke bare mein dekha.
So we come to the third paramita.
Aur hum abhi teesri paramita tak pahunche hain.
And this is shanti paramita.
Ye hai shanti paramita.
It's not shanti.
Ye shanti nahi hai.
It's kshanti.
Aur ye shanti.
My English tongue won't say that properly.
Meri angrezi zubaan hai usko theek se nahi keh sakti.
But sometimes people think that I'm saying shanti when I'm actually saying kshanti.
Sabhi log logon ko lagta hai ki main shanti hi bol raha hu lekin main vastav mein kshanti bol raha hu.
So kshanti is a Sanskrit word.
To kshanti ye Sanskrit ka shabd hai.
I don't think it's used in modern Marathi or Hindi.
Aadhunik Marathi aur Hindi mein iska upyog hota hai, iske bare mein shanka hai mujhe.
So you may not know this word.
Aur isliye iska shayad shabd ke bare mein aapko pata nahi hoga.
It's usually translated as patience.
Iska sadharan jo anuvad hai use sahanshilta is tarah se kiya jata hai.
Baba Sahib translates it as patience.
Baba Sahib ise shanti ya sahanshilta ke roop mein anuvad karte hain.
But kshanti is actually a very rich and complex word in the original Buddhist Sanskrit.
Mulmut Bodh Sanskrit mein shanti ye bahut hi jatil aur bahut hi artho wala shabd hai.
It's a very beautiful word.
Aur ye bahut hi sundar shabd hai.
Very rich in meaning.
Aur iska arth bhi bahut hi sundar
hai. First of all, you could say that shanti is really very much an aspect of fraternity.
Hum shuruaat mein keh sakte hain ki shanti ye bandhutva ka hi ek bahut mahatvapurna ang hai.
And kshanti is accompanied by strong feelings of maitri and karuna.
Aur kshanti maitri aur karuna se banti hai.
It emerges from kshanti and from maitri and karuna.
Ye kshanti jo hai maitri aur karuna se nirman hoti hai.
So it has three principal meanings.
To kshanti ke teen pramukh arth hai.
I don't know what the Hindi words are, but the English are first of all forbearance.
To hindi ke shabd kaun se mujhe pata nahi, lekin angrezi ka pehla hai forbearance, jisko dheeraj rakhna hum bol sakte hain.
And the second is tolerance.
Dusra hai sahanshilta.
And the third is spiritual receptivity.
Aur teesra hai aadhyatmik grahanshilta.
So I'll take you through each of these meanings and we'll try to see how they can bear on our lives.
Aur in teeno ke main aapko ek ek karke bataunga hamare jeevan ke sath uska kaisa sambandh hai aur iske baad main aapko bataunga.
So first of all, kshanti means forbearance.
तो सबसे पहले शांति का मतलब है धीरज.
That means not reacting.
इसका मतलब तुरंत प्रतिक्रिया न देना.
It means not giving way to your anger or hatred.
इसका मतलब हमारा जो द्वेष है या गुस्सा है उसे व्यक्त न करना.
So somebody shouts at you.
उदाहरण के लिए कोई आप पर चिल्लाता है.
So immediately your feeling is to shout back.
और आपकी तुरंत ये भावना होती है कि इसके ऊपर आपने चिल्लाना चाहिए.
Well, my feeling is always to shout back. That's my main difficulty. I have difficulty with anger. So I've had to work quite a bit with kshanti. But if somebody says something to me, something rude to me, my instinct is to say something rude back. But with forbearance, you keep quiet. And you don't just keep quiet, but you don't even feel hatred or anger. So I've had to do a lot of work on kshanti. But it's not wanting to have your own back. Get your own back. To retaliate. So just imagine, I hit Kumarajiv. So Kumarajiv, well, he wants to, as we say in English, get his own back. He wants to pay me back. In fact, he wants to pay me back with a little bit of interest. So, well, then he hits me. So then I have to hit him back with a little bit more interest. And so it goes on. But with kshanti, you say, okay, you just bear it. You don't feel anger, you don't want to retaliate. So it's this absence of desire for revenge or retaliation. So it's bearing difficulties patiently. It's even bearing the enmity of others patiently. No, it's very important to see that you don't bear them out of weakness. Sometimes kshanti is mistaken for passivity or weakness. So I hit Kumarajiv. But I'm senior to Kumarajiv. I've been in the order longer than him. I'm the talker, he's just the translator. So he feels he can't hit me back. He's just a small man, I'm a big man. So he just keeps quiet. But that's not kshanti. That's just weakness. You just feel, well, you couldn't do it. So kshanti is not weakness, it's not passivity. And kshanti is where, well, yes, you could respond. You feel quite strong in yourself, quite confident in yourself, but you choose not to retaliate. Now, I think this is a very important point to get hold of clearly. I think there's quite a bit of confusion about that in Buddhist circles here in India. I've even heard it said that, well, the Buddha may have taught Maitri, but Baba Sahib taught hatred. Well, you can read the Buddha and his Dhamma, and it's obvious he didn't teach that. But the important point is, Baba Sahib did teach standing up for yourself. He taught people not to just submit. He taught people to stand up for their rights. He taught people to see themselves with dignity. So Kshanti is not incompatible with human dignity. Now this is so important because in some religions the idea of patience has been used to oppress. I know this was true of the Christianity that I was taught when I was a child. I remember one hymn we used to sing. So the rich man in his castle, the poor man at his gate. He, God, made them high or lowly and ordered their estate. And ordered their estate. Well, that's the rich man's philosophy. The rich man says, well, you're poor, God made you like that. So you should accept that. We're rich, well, God made us like that, we have to accept it. This is the natural order of things. And some religions teach like that. And, well, that is definitely not the Buddhist point of view. Graded inequality is not natural. You remember, Baba Saheb saw that India was based on a system of graded inequality. And that graded inequality was justified on religious grounds. But, well, Buddhism is a very, very decisive protest against that point of view. Buddhism completely rejects that attitude. So we should not use Kshanti as an excuse for keeping people low. We shouldn't say, well, just accept that you're very poor. Just accept and practice Kshanti. That is definitely not Buddhism. Kshanti doesn't mean humbly and gratefully accepting oppression. It's not that the poor person has to say, oh, thank you very much, rich person, for treading on my head. Now please kick me. That's not what Buddhism is about. That's not what Kshanti is about. Kshanti includes standing up for your dignity. It includes struggling for freedom. The chief point is that you do that without hatred, without ill will. And although Baba Saheb's language is sometimes very, very strong, you never feel that there's hatred there. He wasn't going to put up with the treatment that he'd had. But he wasn't going to try to hurt or harm people. So yes, this way of understanding shanti is very important indeed. And I hope that in what I say, you'll bear in mind this point. In Buddhism, we have a sort of balance. We have a balance between this attitude of non-hatred and a real pride and self-assertion. So let me try to look at this in detail, and perhaps that will help us to understand more fully what I'm talking about. So, it's often said that forbearance, kshanti as forbearance, is forbearance in relation to three things. It's forbearance in respect of nature. Forbearance with respect to the body. And then finally, and perhaps most importantly, forbearance in relation to other people. So let me look at each of those in turn. So the first thing is forbearance in relation to nature. Well, I can think of an example from my own experience this morning. Where we're staying, it's really very quiet for India. And, well, I've really enjoyed meditating there and reflecting there. But every morning, while I'm meditating, at exactly the same time, a dog starts barking. And he's got a very sharp bark. And he barks in a way that gets right inside your ear, right into the middle of your head. So I'm sitting there and I'm doing the Maitri Bhavana. I'm spreading out Maitri to all beings. And then that dog starts barking. So then I start imagining beating that dog. Or even throttling that dog. I think, why doesn't somebody stop that dog? So, well, that's not kshanti. The dog doesn't know. Sometimes I think that dog knows I've just started meditating. He's just sort of listening out. He hears me reciting the refuges and precepts. Okay, right. But no, of course, that dog is just being a dog. I don't know why he barks, it's just the dog's nature to bark. I can't blame the dog for barking. But my reaction immediately is to blame the poor dog for barking. But then I think, well, today I've got to give a talk on kshanti. So I must try to practice kshanti paramita. And just think, well, that poor dog is just a dog. I think the dog actually is bored. He's got nothing to do. So he just tries to bark to see if there are any friends around who will bark back at him. Probably if I was really kind, I'd go outside in the balcony and bark back at him. But this is what happens, we start to retaliate at nature. We start to feel angry with nature. But nature has no self-consciousness. In England, we're always complaining about the weather. Those of you who have been to England will know that our weather is very, very changeable. And you get up in the morning, you don't know what the weather is going to be like. The sun may be shining. It can be raining. There can be fog. You just don't know what the weather is going to be like. Of course, we have a weather report, but it's always wrong. If the weathermen say tomorrow will be fine, you get your umbrella. And our favourite sport in England, our favourite national pastime, is complaining about the weather. That's right, isn't it, Kumarji? Yes. So, this is not kshanti. With kshanti, you just accept the weather is like that. There's nothing you can do about it. You can't stop it from being wet or dry or whatever. So our anger at the weather is completely wasted. And it's just a reflection of our desire to have things our own way. We want life to be easy for us. But life isn't like that. Life is often difficult. Mushkil hai. Zindagi mushkil hai. Zindagi bahut mushkil hai. And often it just doesn't go the way we want it to. And we have to accept that. Of course, nature can be very violent indeed. You can get terrible floods. There was that terrible earthquake in Gujarat quite recently. Well, we can't blame nature. Nature didn't intend to harm us. So there's no point in us being angry with nature. Of course, we can do something about it. The fact that we don't get angry doesn't mean that we can't try to build our houses so they're earthquake proof. The fact that mosquitoes bite, well, you don't have to. You could also put up netting so that they don't get you. So we can go some way to protecting ourselves from the harms that nature brings us. But we have to accept that nature is bigger than we are. In the end, you can't conquer nature. We can do a lot to sort things out. But in the end, we can't resolve everything. And I think this is perhaps an attitude we need to get quite right. Until quite recently, I was spending time in India and then spending time in the United States of America. And I used to find there was a big contrast between the attitudes in those two countries. Of course, at the moment, we're all quite worried about what the Americans are doing. worried about what the Americans are doing. Supported, I'm afraid to say, by the British. But there's one thing that I've always found very good about Americans. They're very confident. They always think, we can do something about it. If there's a problem, they think, well, we can solve it. And they're very active, very confident. I think in India, people tend to be more passive in that way. And people often let things happen. They don't take responsibility for changing them. And really, I think the Americans and the Indians could teach each other a lot. In India, yes, perhaps people are a bit too passive. It's not shanti, but it's just, what can I do? I'm helpless. A kind of resignation. But the Americans think they can solve everything. But they can't. Life is bigger even than Americans. So perhaps in India there's a need for a more active approach to these issues. And perhaps in the West we need to accept more nature. I've had some very interesting experiences of this kind. I'll give you an example which is not actually to do with nature. But it illustrates the way that as a Westerner, I look at things which are different to the way that you look at them as an Indian. So a while ago I was on retreat with 80 members of our order. And every day we were going up to the shrine room to meditate, maybe 6 or 7 times a day. And on the way to the shrine room, there was a wire hanging over the path. And it was hanging, so it was only about 4 feet from the ground. So, about 15 or 20 times a day, 80 people were having to go past that wire. And every time they came to the wire, they had to go down under it and carry on. So I just watched. And I just watched to see what would happen. And then one day it got too much for me. I couldn't hold myself back anymore. So I just climbed the tree, hauled the wire up, and came down again. So it just took me 2 minutes. Although I had about 20 people watching me. Who is that monkey up the tree? But yes, that was my instinct to sort it out. But I think here people too easily accept. In the West, we too easily think that we have to change everything. So I tell this story just to make clear that kshanti doesn't mean just passivity. You can change things. But you do it without hatred, without anger. And recognizing there's a point beyond which you cannot change them.
और इस बात को आप ध्यान में रख सकते हैं कि किसी विशिष्ट स्तर के बाद आप वस्तुओं को नहीं बदल सकते।
I remember again one of Sangharakshita's teachers telling a story.
मुझे याद है हमारे संगरक्षित जी के एक जो गुरु है कहानी बता रहे हैं।
He told the story of his own father. His own father.
वो जो गुरु है अपने पिता की कहानी बता रहे हैं।
He was a Chinese guru.
और एक चाइनीज गुरु है।
And he'd learned everything there was to know about the perfect place for meditation.
और उन्होंने अपने पिता से सीखा था कि ध्यान करने के लिए सबसे अच्छी परिपूर्ण जगह कौन सी हो सकती है।
And he spent his whole life finding and setting up the perfect place for meditation.
और उन्होंने अपनी पूरी जिंदगी बिताई ध्यान के लिए सबसे अच्छी जगह कौन सी होगी ये ढूंढने के लिए।
Then he found that place.
अब उन्हें वो जगह मिल गई।
Before he started meditating there, he died. So, we can spend so much time making everything comfortable for ourselves that we never do anything worthwhile. So, kshanti means knowing how far to change things. And how far to just leave them and accept them.
और किस हद तक आप उन्हें ऐसा ही छोड़ देंगे और उन्हें स्वीकृत करेंगे।
So I've been talking about forbearance with respect to nature.
और मैं इस प्रकृति के बारे में शांति का पालन करने के बारे में कह रहा हूँ।
Then there's forbearance with respect to the body.
और बाद में शरीर के संबंध में शांति का पालन।
Of course, the body is really part of nature.
निश्चित ही जो शरीर है इस प्रकृति का ही एक हिस्सा है।
And we all know that whatever you do, the body will suffer.
और हम सभी को पता है कि जो कुछ हम करेंगे, हमारे शरीर को दर्द होगा, दुख होगा।
I certainly was very lucky myself that as a young person I experienced very good health.
मैं काफी सुधरी हूँ क्योंकि मुझे अपने बाल्यावस्था में, युवावस्था में काफी अच्छी प्रकृति मेरी रही।
But as I've got older, I've had to accept I haven't got the energy I used to have.
लेकिन मुझे अभी भी ये स्वीकारना पड़ता है कि जैसी शक्ति मेरे पास थी वो शक्ति आज नहीं है।
So for instance, I organized more talks than I could really give.
उदाहरण के तौर पर मैंने इतने ज्यादा अपने प्रवचन का आयोजन किया और ये भूल गया कि मैं इतना सारा नहीं कर सकता।
So I got quite frustrated with myself.
और इसलिए मैं अपने आप से काफी निराश हो
गया। I felt, well, I've promised these people I would talk.
और मैंने कहा कि मैंने लोगों को वचन दिया है कि मैं वहां आऊंगा प्रवचन।
Because my body's not as strong, I'm not able to do that.
लेकिन मेरा शरीर मजबूत नहीं होने से मैं ऐसा नहीं कर सकता।
But then I needed to have kshanti.
फिर भी यहाँ पर मुझे शांति होनी चाहिए।
I needed to accept that my body is getting older.
अब मुझे इस बात को स्वीकृत करना चाहिए कि मेरा शरीर जो है बुढ़ापे की तरफ जा रहा है।
It doesn't have the strength it had.
और जो ताकत उसमें थी वो आज नहीं है।
So we don't get annoyed or frustrated with our bodies.
इसलिए अपने शरीर के साथ हम गुस्सा नहीं करते या निराश नहीं होते।
We try to treat them properly.
हम उसे ठीक ढंग से रखने की कोशिश करते हैं।
And realize that our bodies are part of nature and subject to decay.
और इस बात को हम ध्यान में रखते हैं कि हमारा शरीर भी प्रकृति का एक हिस्सा है और नष्ट होता है।
Again, we do what we can to cure disease and to keep ourselves healthy.
और निश्चित ही जितना हम कर सकते हैं हम कोशिश करते हैं अपने बीमारियों से दूर रहने की या बीमारियों को दुरुस्त करने की।
But at a certain point, you just have to say, well, this is the way it is.
लेकिन एक मोड ऐसा आता है जो हमें कहना पड़ता है कि बातें ऐसी ही हैं।
And you accept with an open and loving heart.
और आप बहुत ही खुले और प्रेम से इस सत्य को स्वीकार करते हैं।
So then thirdly we come to forbearance in relation to other people.
तीसरी बात है आप दूसरे लोगों के साथ धीरज रखने का पालन करते हैं।
And this is really the most difficult area of all.
और ये सबसे मुश्किल क्षेत्र है।
Other people don't always do what we want them to do.
बाकी लोग जो है हम जैसा उनसे चाहते हैं वैसा हमेशा नहीं करते।
I think heaven must be where everybody does exactly what you want them to do.
शायद वो स्वर्ग होगा जहाँ पर आप जैसा चाहते हैं वैसा ही सब लोग करें।
But well, we know heaven doesn't really exist.
लेकिन हमें पता है ऐसा कोई स्वर्ग नहीं है।
It's very difficult indeed to find a situation where everybody wants to do what you want to do.
तो ये बहुत ऐसी परिस्थिति प्राप्त करना बड़ा मुश्किल है कि हर एक व्यक्ति जैसा आप चाहते हैं वैसा करे।
And where people don't do what you don't want them to do.
और आप
people don't do what you don't want them to do.
और आप लोग आप
They are, you know, always going to find a situation where people do things that you don't want them to do. So that's the situation we so often find ourselves getting angry in. People won't do what we want them to do. They insist on doing things we don't want them to do. It's so angry-making. It's so frustrating. And we get so angry and so full of hatred when it happens. But it's worth just asking yourself, when you get angry like that, does it actually help? Do you then find that people do what you want them to do or stop doing what you don't want them to do? Well, no, usually you don't. If you get angry, they get angry. If you get violent, they get violent. So things get worse. So with Kshanti, you realize that other people don't always do what you want them to do. And you realize that they're not doing it just because they want to hurt you. They're doing it because they believe that that will meet their needs. So you need to find ways of communicating with them so that their needs are met and your needs are met. It is possible for everybody to win. But it demands a great deal of skill from us. And it means that we need to recognize that other people are different from us. But for instance, I'll give you an example of a difference between English people and Indian people. One of our Dhammacharinis from India was in England. And she felt that English people were very unsympathetic. Not sympathetic. And so I tried to find out why. Well, it seems that she'd been ill. And everybody just stayed away from her. They'd come in and ask if she needed anything and then just leave her. Well, the point is that English people have a very different attitude in that situation. English people, if they're ill, they tend to want to be on their own. Illness is a very private matter. But in India, illness is a public matter. You want all your family, all your friends around you. So actually, the English people were being very sympathetic. They just didn't realize that being an Indian, she wanted lots of people around her. So different conditionings mean that you want different things. So it's important to realize that often other people aren't doing things to hurt you, but just because they're different to you. And even within India, people are very different. We've all got our own temperament, our own character. So kshanti means an appreciation of the other person. A recognition that they're quite different to us. And an attempt to understand them. And to appreciate what it is that they want. So when somebody does something that harms you, you don't think immediately like hitting them. You think about communicating, about trying to understand. You try to be loving in your attitude to them. So this is what kshanti means in relation to other people. Now I'm going to come back to that issue that we dealt with a bit earlier. I don't want any misunderstanding about this. What should be our attitude to people who've oppressed us? Who have oppressed us? Well, for instance, I've sometimes found people saying, it's all very well to develop universal Maitri. It's all right to develop Maitri to everybody except Brahmins. This is sometimes what people think. It's not what the Buddha taught, it's not what Baba Sahib taught. But it's very difficult to think what people have historically oppressed one. So how can you feel Maitri towards them? But this is what the Buddha taught. This is what Baba Sahib even taught. It doesn't mean giving in to them and going back into the old oppression. You can work against injustice, you can stand up for dignity without hatred. Again, I'll give you a little example from my own experience. Well, you know that I'm an Englishman. Well, you know that my secretary and dear friend Jyotika is from Ireland. Well, I don't know whether you know, but the English colonized Ireland a long time ago. And I think there's no doubt about it, they behaved very badly there. I think that of all the places that the English colonized, that Ireland was probably the worst treated. But Jyotika and I are very good friends. He doesn't think, well, you're English, I'm sorry, I can't be pleasant to you. That's right, isn't it? Yeah, he's just saying he's nodding. In fact, we're very good friends and we have a great deal of love for each other. Of course, Ireland has been free from England for 70 or 80 years now. But still, yes, it's still sometimes those sort of hatreds can go on for many, many centuries. So we should be able to rise above that sort of thing. For an Irishman to like an Englishman doesn't mean saying, oh, come and oppress us again. It means saying, well, I like you very much, but you just stay in your own country. Or come to my country as a guest. So I think the same thing applies in this country too. We can stand up for ourselves, we can refuse to fall back into the old patterns, but we don't have to have hatred.
पुराने ढंग से फिर से वापस जाने के लिए आप संघर्ष न जाने के लिए आप संघर्ष कर सकते हैं फिर भी आप मैत्री से
In fact, I'm going to be a little bit daring.
यहाँ मैं थोड़ा सा और एक ठंडक करना चाहता
हूँ. I hope I'm not going to annoy anybody.
मुझे आशा है कि मैं आपको कुछ गुस्सा नहीं दिलाऊंगा.
I didn't plan to say this, so I'm a little nervous.
मैं ऐसा बोलने का सोच के तो नहीं आया हूँ. अभी बोलना चाहता हूँ इसलिए थोड़ा आसान सा लगा.
So please forgive me in advance if I say something wrong.
अगर मैं कुछ गलत कहता हूँ, पहले से ही माफ कर दीजिए.
But I think if you feel some hatred towards those people, it's because you're not free.
मुझे लगता है कि आपको उन लोगों के बारे में अगर द्वेष आता है
Still in your own mind, you're a bit oppressed.
आपके मन में अभी भी आप थोड़े अपने आप को नीचा समझते हैं.
And we need to get rid of it in our own minds.
इस भावना को हमने अपने मन से निकालना चाहिए.
That's what Baba Saheb said.
और बाबा साहब ने यही बताया.
Caste is a state of mind, he said.
बाबा साहब कहते हैं कि जाति ये मन की अवस्था है.
If you can feel love for everybody in Indian society, it means you've overcome caste in your own mind.
अगर भारत में हर एक हर व्यक्ति के प्रति प्रेम की भावना निर्माण करता है, तो अपने मन की जो जाति की भावना है, उसे नष्ट करें।
So I'm sorry if I've said something wrong.
मैंने कुछ गलत किया है, तो मुझे माफ कर दो।
I don't really understand caste.
अब सही बात यह है कि जाति मुझे समझ में नहीं आ रही।
We've got our own problems in the West, but caste isn't one of them.
हमारे पश्चिम में बहुत सारे अलग अलग समस्याएं हैं, लेकिन वहाँ पर जाति नहीं है।
So I may not have understood properly.
इसलिए इस बात को मैं ठीक से नहीं समझता।
But that's the way it seems to me.
It's
a triumph over caste if we can love everybody.
तो अगर हम हर एक से प्यार कर सकेंगे, मैत्री कर सकेंगे, तो जाति पर हमने विजय प्राप्त किया ऐसा होगा.
Baba Saheb wanted India to be based on Bandhutva.
Baba Saheb चाहते थे कि भारत बंधुत्व की बुनियाद पर खड़ा हो.
He put that liberty, equality, fraternity right at the beginning of the Constitution.
Baba Saheb ने संविधान के सबसे शुरुआत में
So everybody is part of that Bandhutva. You can be friendly, you can have shanti towards everybody without being dominated by them. So the second area, the second word that translates shanti is tolerance. I think this is very important indeed in today's India. Religion is the source of so much conflict in the world. It's the source of so much conflict here in India. Just this year, thousands of people died because of religion.
धर्म की वजह से इसी साल में हजारों लोगों की मृत्यु हुई।
It seems incredible. Religion should be all about love and peace, but it seems to be about war and hatred.
अब बड़ी विचित्र बात है कि धर्म अगर कहा जाए तो वो मैत्री और प्रेम के बारे में होना चाहिए, लेकिन यहाँ तो धर्म हिंसा और अत्याचार के बारे में आगे दिखता है।
So many people die every year, every day, because of religion.
धर्म की वजह से कितने सारे लोग हर साल नहीं हर दिन मरते हैं।
But Buddhism, I think, is quite unusual in that respect. We can't say that there's never been violence in the name of Buddhism. But I think we can say it's very, very much more unusual than in the other great world religions. If Buddhism is known for anything, it's its tolerance. After all, the great Nobel Prize winner was the Dalai Lama. He's probably the most famous Buddhist in the world. And he's insisted on non-violence. So and he's insisted on tolerance towards other religions. So I think that this is something that's very important for us. When so many religions in India are fighting each other, let the Buddhists be peaceful.
जब भारत में बाकी धर्म के लोग बहुत एक दूसरे के साथ साथ झगड़ा कर रहे हैं बौद्धों ने
let them be peaceful.
बौद्धों ने शांत रहना
चाहिए. Let them bring people together.
और बौद्धों ने लोगों को एक साथ लाना चाहिए.
Buddhism believes that your religion should be a matter of personal choice.
बौद्धों ने इस बात पर विश्वास रखता है कि आपका धर्म आपके स्वयं के निर्णय का हिस्सा होना चाहिए.
You can't really be born a Buddhist.
आप सही में बौद्ध करके आपका जन्म नहीं हो सकता.
You have to choose to be a Buddhist.
आपको ये निर्णय लेना पड़ता है कि आपको बौद्ध बनना है.
If you're going to choose to be a Buddhist, you have to be free not to be a Buddhist.
अगर आपको बौद्ध बनना है, तो बौद्ध नहीं रहने के लिए आपको मुक्त होना चाहिए.
You can't have a choice if you've got no choice.
अगर आपके पास कोई चारा ही नहीं है, तो जो आपको निर्णय लेना है, उसमें कोई आसान नहीं होगा.
If you're to be a Buddhist, you have to be free not to be a Buddhist.
अगर आपको बौद्ध बनना है, तो बौद्ध नहीं रहने के लिए भी आप मुक्त होना चाहिए.
So surely our attitude is, well, if you want to be a Buddhist, you're very welcome.
तो हमारा दृष्टिकोण यह होना चाहिए कि अगर आपको बौद्ध बनना है, तो आपको बौद्ध बहुत स्वागत है.
If you don't want to be a Buddhist, that's okay.
अगर आप बौद्ध नहीं बनना चाहते हैं, तो कोई बात.
We think it'd be very good if you were a Buddhist, but it's up to you.
हमें लगता है कि अगर आप बौद्ध होते तो बहुत अच्छा होता, लेकिन आप पर है.
We shouldn't force people, we shouldn't bribe people, we shouldn't put pressure on people.
लोगों को आपने जबरदस्ती नहीं करना चाहिए, कुछ आमिष या घूस नहीं देना चाहिए या
we should let people be free. And we shouldn't feel upset and insulted if they choose something else. Baba Sahib saw this very clearly. Of course, for him, liberty was vitally important. And he gives many definitions of what liberty means. But one of the things it means is freedom to choose your own religion. And that's the essence of Buddhist tolerance. We respect everybody's individuals. If they choose to be a Muslim or a Hindu or a Christian, well, we respect their decision. We might think they were wrong in certain respects. We might even have certain criticisms of beliefs that they have. We might have certain criticisms or beliefs they have. But we respect their decision. We don't get angry at them. We don't take out a mortar against them. We let them be free and make their own decision. So this is very, very important. And I really hope that Buddhists can be an example of that sort of tolerance in India today. I think Buddhists could help to bring people of other religions together. I heard recently that some friends of ours had been in Bombay when there were big riots. And there was a big mob coming to find the Muslims. So some of our Buddhist friends went to the leaders and said, look, please, look, these are our neighbours. They're very good people. They're not harming anybody. Just leave them alone. And they were able to protect those people. And they were able to calm the mob. So I think we can do a lot to bring peace and harmony in modern India. We don't, as Buddhists, believe that because somebody is a Hindu or a Christian or a Muslim that they're going to hell.
हम बहुत करके ऐसा विश्वास नहीं रखते हैं कि कोई दूसरा हिंदू है या मुस्लिम है या क्रिश्चियन है तो वो बौद्ध नहीं है इसलिए नरक में जाएगा.
We believe that you can be a good man and lead a good life, whatever your religion.
हम ये विश्वास करते हैं कि आपका धर्म कोई भी हो, आप अच्छे व्यक्ति हो सकते हैं, आप अच्छा जीवन जी सकते हैं.
So we should be responding to the kind of life that people lead, not to the label that they have on them.
तो जिस धर्म का जीवन लोग जीते हैं, उसको हमें प्रतिशत देना चाहिए. उन पर जो लेबल लगा है, उसको नहीं.
With anybody, you can find common ground. With anybody, you can find common ground.
तो हर एक व्यक्ति, हर एक व्यक्ति के बारे में आप इसी तरह की बात सोच सकते
हैं. You can see that they're good people.
आप देख सकते हैं कि वो अच्छे लोग हैं.
And you share a common humanity.
और आप उनके साथ जो एक समानता है, मानवता की, उसको बांट लेते हैं.
Baba Sahib said that religion was made for man, not man for religion.
Baba Sahib कहते हैं कि धर्म व्यक्ति के लिए है, इंसान के लिए, इंसान धर्म के लिए नहीं.
So we should respond to people as human beings.
इसलिए हमने लोगों को मनुष्य करके देखना चाहिए.
And I'm sure that if you react like that, people will be much more likely to respond to Buddhism.
अगर आप इस तरह से लोगों के साथ व्यवहार करते हैं, तो मुझे पूरा भरोसा है कि लोग आपको बहुत धर्म को बहुत अच्छा प्रतिशत देंगे.
Now it's not just true of tolerance is not just to do with other religions.
अब सहनशीलता दूसरे धर्मों के संबंध में ही होती है, ऐसी बात नहीं.
There also needs to be tolerance between Buddhists.
तो बौद्धों के आपस के बीच में भी, आपस में भी सहनशीलता होनी चाहिए.
I imagine that tonight there are people here from different Buddhist groups.
मुझे कल्पना है कि यहाँ पे जो लोग हैं, अलग अलग बौद्ध समूह से आए हुए हैं.
Well, you're very, very welcome.
आपका बहुत स्वागत है.
We have no quarrels with anybody.
किसी भी दूसरे के साथ, दूसरे बौद्धों के साथ हमारा कोई झगड़ा नहीं है.
Sometimes we have discussions, we have different views.
कभी कभी हमारे अलग अलग पद्धति होती है, अलग अलग दृष्टिकोण होते हैं.
But we can agree to disagree.
लेकिन हम असहमत होने के लिए सहमत हो सकते हैं.
And we can talk for the greater good of Buddhism.
और बौद्ध धर्म के भलाई के लिए हम चर्चा कर सकते हैं.
But there's such a tendency for Buddhists to fight each other.
लेकिन बौद्धों में आपस में झगड़ा करने की इतनी ज्यादा प्रवृत्ति है.
We waste our energies fighting each other.
हम अपनी शक्ति को बर्बाद कर देते हैं आपस में झगड़ा करने के लिए.
There's a story that illustrates this.
एक कहानी है, इसका बड़ा अच्छा उदाहरण.
One day there were two crows.
एक दिन दो कौवे बैठे थे.
And they found some food by the side of the road.
उन्होंने देखा कि रास्ते के बाजू में कोई भोजन पड़ा हुआ.
So they started talking to each other.
अब ये दोनों कौवे एक दूसरे के साथ बात कर रहे
हैं. What beautiful food, brother.
वो कहते हैं कि बंदू कितना अच्छा खाना मिल
रहा है. Ah, what wonderful food.
कौवे कहते हैं कितना अच्छा खाना.
And so they were happily eating the food together.
अब बहुत ही खुशी से वो दोनों मिलकर वो खाना खा रहे हैं.
And along came a fox.
और फिर उधर से एक
and the fox saw the food and the two crows. And the fox thought, right, I must get rid of them. So he went up to one crow. And he said to him, look, brother, I really want to help you. But I see that you're letting that other crow take advantage of you. For every peck that you take, he takes two. I'm not trying to cause disharmony, I'm just trying to get you to stand up for your rights. And then he went to the other crow. And he said, you see that other crow? Every bite you take, he takes two. So then the crow started fighting. Fox takes the food and runs away. That's what happens when Buddhists fight. The fox takes all the food. We waste our energies. Baba Sahib's message is just lost. It does no good. If we just work together, we could do so much. But we spend our time quarreling with each other, criticizing each other. Yes, we could help each other. We could help each other to do better. But yes, Buddhists shouldn't be fighting. If we do that, we're wasting the Buddha Dharma.
अगर हम ऐसा करते हैं, तो हम बौद्ध धर्म
So let's be examples in India of peace and harmony and tolerance.
तो बहुत भारत में शांति के सुसंवाद के उदाहरण होगा चाहिए.
And in that way, more people will want to come to Buddhism.
और इस तरह से बहुत ज़्यादा लोगों की इच्छा होगी कि वे बौद्ध बने.
I've actually heard people say, "Why should I be interested in Buddhism? They're just fighting with each other."
अब मैंने ऐसे भी लोगों को बोलते हुए सुना है कि हम बौद्ध क्यों बने? बौद्ध लोग आपस में झगड़े कर रहे हैं.
People aren't going to go want to come and join you fighting.
अब लोग आपके साथ आके झगड़े में शामिल होने वाले नहीं.
They can fight for themselves. They don't need to go and fight with somebody else.
वो अपने आप में झगड़ा कर सकते हैं. झगड़ा करने के लिए आपके पास में क्या जरूरत है?
So let's show Buddhism to be tolerant, united.
इसलिए हमने लोगों को दिखाना चाहिए कि हम एक हैं और सहनशील हैं.
Now, of course, the fact that we're tolerant doesn't mean that we agree with everything.
हम सहनशीलता रखते हैं, इसका मतलब ऐसा नहीं कि हम सहमत हो जाते हैं.
There's some things that others might say, for instance, about Buddhism that we want to correct.
कुछ लोग बौद्ध धर्म के बारे में कुछ ऐसी बात करते हैं जिसको हमें सुधारना आवश्यक है.
So, for instance, if people say, well, the Buddha is just an incarnation of Vishnu, well, we want to say, well, that's not the way we see it. Or they want to say that Buddhism is part of Hinduism. Well, we say that that's not the way we see it. And there was a very good example of this recently. Mr. Goenka wrote a very, very good letter making these points clear. It was very clear, it was very direct. But it was very kindly, it wasn't hateful. So, Kshanti as tolerance does not mean just keeping quiet.
शांति मतलब सहनशीलता का अर्थ ऐसा नहीं है कि आप अपना मुंह बंद करते हैं.
We can make our points clear.
हम अपनी आवाज स्पष्ट ढंग से रख सकते
हैं. But we can do it without hatred, without ill will.
ये हम सब करते हैं बिना किसी द्वेष से और बिना किसी बुरी इच्छा से.
So one more point.
और एक मुद्दा.
Kshanti as spiritual receptivity.
शांति आध्यात्मिक ग्रहणशीलता के अर्थ से.
So we are on the spiritual path.
हम सभी आध्यात्मिक मार्ग पर चल रहे हैं.
I hope over these few days we're even more firmly on that path than we were before.
और मुझे आशा है कि आने वाले कुछ दिनों में हम इस मार्ग पर और मजबूती से चलेंगे जितना हम इसके पहले नहीं चले.
But we haven't reached the goal.
लेकिन हमें किसी ध्येय को प्राप्त करना.
We've still got quite a long way to go.
और हमें बहुत कुछ आगे हासिल करना.
We don't fully see the Dhamma.
हम पूरी तरह से धम्म को नहीं समझते.
Our own understanding is still quite limited. It's as if we're living in a quite narrow world. And we don't really see the big world around us. And I remember recently I was somewhere in India and a little old lady came to me and said, "Where is your village?" And I think she thought that I probably lived in a village just like her. So then she asked, "Well, what do you eat?" And I explained to her what we ate. And she said, "Well, what about chapatis?" And I said, "Well, no, we don't eat chapatis except when we go to an Indian restaurant." She looked at me and said, "How can you live without chapatis?" So we're a bit like that. We're living in quite a narrow world. We think the whole world eats chapatis. We don't realize that people eat other things. So even with spiritual life, it's like that. Our own vision of spiritual life is quite narrow. And often we even refuse to accept that there is a bigger vision. Often you find this. You proceed in spiritual life. And then you have a sudden breakthrough. And you suddenly see things completely afresh. And you realize it had always been like that. But it's as if you've got blindfold over your eyes. You refuse to let yourself see. So shanti means taking off that blindfold. It means opening yourself up to a bigger vision of the Dhamma than you presently have. It means opening yourself up to the biggest vision of all, which is prajna. And this can be quite frightening. From the point of view of prajna, everything we think of as important is unimportant. From the point of view of prajna, everything we think that is real is not real. From the point of view of prajna, we've got everything the wrong way up. And we're just not seeing things accurately. Well, that can be very frightening. At times in spiritual life, there are those moments of fear. When you realize that the Dharma sweeps away everything that you've believed until that point. So kshanti means remaining open to a higher and further truth. It means remaining open to a truth that is completely beyond what we presently know. And that is kshanti paramita. So we need to reflect on whether we are open to the Dhamma as transcending our present understanding. If we think we know it all already, we won't learn anything. There's a famous story about this. One day a professor went to see a Buddhist teacher. And the professor just started saying everything he knew about Buddhism. He said, well, Buddhism's like this. Buddhism's like that. So eventually the Zen master, the Buddhist teacher said, would you like some tea? And so the professor said, yeah. So some tea was brought in. It was brought in a big pot. And the master, he started pouring the professor's tea. And he poured and he poured. The cup filled up. Then it overflowed. Then it fell all over the floor. It fell on the professor's trousers. And he leapt up and said, stop pouring, the cup is full. And so the master said, well, that's the problem. Your cup is full. You know it all, so you can't take anything in. And this is our situation. Our cup is full, we won't take in the Dhamma. So we need to be open, we need to be receptive. And this is Shanti Paramita. So we've learned quite a bit today. In a way, with Shanti, we move into some quite subtle aspects of the Dhamma. But I hope I've given you some material for reflection. I hope you've seen ways in which you can change your own behavior, your own minds. How can you be more forbearing? How can you be more forbearing with respect to nature, your body, and other people? Can you be more tolerant? Particularly, can you be more tolerant towards people from other religions? Perhaps it's quite important that every one of us has some friends from different religions. In that way, we'll find out just how tolerant we are. And are we tolerant towards other Buddhists? Or do we think, my group is right, they are wrong? And, well, then we can just check whether we've got that sort of tolerance. Are we receptive? Are we open to learning something new, something further? Are we able to take the Dhamma in at a deeper level? So please reflect upon these points and try to see what you can actively do to make a difference. If you could just choose one or two specific actions to undertake, this would make a difference. From what I've said, maybe you can find one or two or three things that you think you can apply in your life. If you decide to apply them and you succeed in applying them, then you will be beginning to practice Shanti. And slowly, Shanti will become Shanti Paramita. As the bodhicitta arises within you, your practice of Shanti will be simply the expression of the bodhicitta. And then you will be following truly in Baba Sahib's footsteps. You will be joining him on the Bodhisattva path. So, having explored, journeyed in imagination on the Shanti Paramita, let's conclude with those four vows. If you choose to, you can recite them after Kumaraji. Remember, it's up to you. We'll be completely tolerant of anybody who doesn't want to. That's what tolerance means. Letting other people do what they think best. So if you want to, you can recite those four vows. In that way, identifying with Baba Saheb's Bodhisattva aspiration. And afterwards, we'll recite the verses of transference of merit. And in that way, any benefit that we've derived from coming here together, we will put to the service of others.
और इसके मदद से हमने जो कुछ पुण्य यहाँ प्राप्त किया है हम लोगों की सेवा में उसको दान करें।
So first the four bodhisattva vows.
सबसे पहले चार बोधिसत्व प्रतिज्ञाएं।
There are beings without limit. Let us, I vow to convey them all across.
प्राणियों की संख्या अनंत है। मैं प्रतिज्ञा करता हूँ उन सबको भवपार करने की।
There are kleshas in us without number. I vow to extinguish them all. There are truths without end. I vow to comprehend them all. There is the way of Buddha without comparison. I vow to accomplish it perfectly.
Buddha ke marg atulniya hai. Main pratigya karta hu. Un sab ko praapt karne ki.
Evam sab karke.
Evam sab karke.
Maine jo punyajan kiya hai.
Maine jo punyajan kiya hai.
Usse sab pranyon ka.
Usse
Sarvaduk shaman karibanun. Jaise
prithvi adi mahabhut.
Ananta akash paryanta vap vyapta. Angimat pranyonke. Nana prakase. Bhogi hotehe. Vaisehi. Akash vyapta pranyonke liye. Mai taptak. Nana prakase, upajivya hu, jabtaki, sab shantika, lab nakale.